the atmosphere for condensation has got to be holiness. I asked the Lord while we were flying, how does he move resources around the world? Natural resources. The most precious commodity, water. How does he move it? Without water, everything dies. Okay? And there are some things in the deserts that grow, it seems, without water, but there's still moisture somehow. I don't know how they get it, but it's there. But everything that's beautiful and lush and everything that's fruitful, every harvest needs water. How do you get water? The Lord said, well, there's an atmosphere. See? If you were to try and truck the water that is necessary to feed that farm with all those grapes, it would take a lot of trucks, a lot of gas, a lot of work. But God moves vast amounts of water, oceans of water, effortlessly in the atmosphere. His son bakes down on that ocean and the water rises, the water vapor rises, and these white clouds emerge off of the ocean and they just float wherever the wind blows them. And then when it's time, God just dumps the water out of them. And if you were to collect all that water, it's so unbelievably heavy. I mean, sometimes the rain falls and it is so intense that it floods. You've seen some of the pictures of flooding. Sometimes the force of that water is so intense and it's downpour, just a burst of rain that can literally break dam walls because there's so much of it. And it was all carried in a cloud effortlessly by the Lord. The Lord said to me, I want to bring my resources. I want to bring the water that brings about the fruit and the harvest. But the only way I can do it is in an atmosphere of holiness. And if you will remain holy before me and you will separate yourselves out to become holy before me, it will create an atmosphere in which I can begin to bring that resource and begin to bring life into your communities as well. You know, guys, I know these images are, you know, like I said, it's a little ethereal. You kind of hang on to what I'm saying and where I'm going with this. But if you and I can start to get an idea of what God can do through us, then maybe we'll start to get an idea of what God will do through us. Holiness. Fullness. See, the trouble is, oftentimes we want what God is saying because it looks like adventure, but we're not willing to let him fill every room. Listen to the words. It says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. Filled the whole house. Okay, a couple of things. I mentioned the first service. I don't think they got it because I wasn't sure that I'm not sure I gave it really well, but there wasn't a wind. It was just a sound. It was a sound of the wind. There came a sound of a rushing mighty wind. There was no wind. It's kind of interesting. How do you have sound without wind? Sound, you know, it's waves, it travels. How do you have the sound without the wind? I don't know, but can you have the sound of a rushing mighty wind without the wind? What does that mean? I believe that there's a sound coming from heaven, and that sound is what is going to bring in the harvest. It's kind of weird, but hold out with me. There's a sound. God is emanating a sound. The heavens are emanating. When the Holy Spirit arrived, the heavens couldn't contain it. There was a sound. It was just a sound. Do you remember in the very beginning when God said, let there be? What came first? The sound or the light? God spoke, let there be, and then there was light. Sound first, light second. Okay? There was a sound. And then people began to see the evidence. I'm telling you, God wants to make a sound with his people. God wants to issue forth a sound. Listen, when the Holy Spirit enters the atmosphere can't contain itself, but it makes a sound. When the Holy Spirit enters a human being, the human being can't contain himself. Got to emit a sound. Okay? We can't help it. When the Holy Spirit comes, he brings sound. God said, let there be. And the Holy Spirit was like, sure. I love that sound. I'd always do that. I love it. It's like my little trademark, you know. I love that. It's just so amazing. The Holy Spirit worked through that sound. And that sound just, there's a sound. There's a sound coming from the heavens. Let me give it to you in another picture. You ever heard a clarinet before? I mean, a clarinet played nicely can be a very beautiful sound. Clarinet played badly can be really annoying, but saxophone's even worse. But thankfully, we have people who can play the saxophone in this church. That's good. But you heard a tuba before, or maybe one of those obscure instruments that just, you know, plays one little note here and there. These instruments are all unique, and they take a lot of training. A lot of people spend their lives learning how to play that individual instrument. And they dedicate themselves to doing it really, really well. But the purpose is not so that they can just play solo. The purpose for their diligence is so that they can play in a symphony. Yeah? Because there's a sound that a symphony emits, which you cannot get on your own. There's a sound which is remarkable. It's beautiful. It's breathtaking. It is, you will sit on the edge of your seat and just in astonished wonder, listening to the incredible sound of hundreds of people working together. It's an amazing thing. There's nothing like it in all the earth. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is a conductor who is trying to conduct our individual lives into a symphony of worship before the Lord that is a sound that will cause the world to sit up and pay attention. Listen to what happens. It says right here, there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. Okay, then you have verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. Do you hear it? When the sound occurred, the multitude came together. I was out in the Kruger National Park. It was a Wednesday morning, and the sun was coming up. It was beautiful. I got up early so I could catch a sunrise, actually a number of times on this trip. And I'm in the Kruger National Park, and there's wild animals just outside the fence, you know, the gate. We spent the night in the camp, and there's an electric fence around you to stop the lions and the elephants from coming and eating you while you sleep, which is cool. I like that. So I'm sitting there early in the morning, and I know that the sun is going to rise right there, because last night I saw the moon rise right there, and now the moon's over my head on this side. I know the sun's going to be right there. So I'm waiting, and it's that darkness that all of a sudden starts to, you know, you start to think you can maybe start to see shapes and stuff, and slowly but surely the light begins to happen. And as you're watching, the world begins to take shape around you, and it's just silhouettes of everything, but the sky in the background is starting to get a little bit lighter. And it's getting lighter and lighter, and finally I turn around to get my cup of tea, and when I turn around with my cup of tea, there's the sun just starting to emerge over the horizon. It's a bright orange ball of fire coming up over the horizon. I'm just like, oh God, that's so amazing. At that moment, there was a symphony. Every creature under heaven, except all the sleeping people, every creature under heaven, it seemed, suddenly burst forth into song. It was incredible. I was amazed. All the birds are singing, all the crickets, all the, I don't know what else was going, but there were all kinds of things. I didn't hear anything that could eat me, I don't think. Maybe mosquitoes, but I'm listening to this unbelievable symphony of song, and I can make out the individuals as they're singing, but no one of those individuals is making up all the noise and all the sound. It's just amazing glorification of God and His sunrise and the order of God, which is seen in the day-to-day goings-on of the universe. And I just sat in amazement, and the Lord said to me, see, that's what I'm talking about. Every one of those individuals has a life. They have their own little unique branch that they sit on, or their own little anthill, or their own whatever. That's their life. But when they come together, there's a sound. There's a sound. My friends, one of the reasons why you need to be in church is because there's a sound in church that you don't get on your own. That's one of the reasons why you need to be here. That's one of the reasons why you need to tell your friends who are right now skipping church. One of the reasons why you need to tell those friends of yours who are disillusioned with church, you've had bad experiences in church. Say, hey guys, you know what? I'm so sorry you had a bad experience. Jesus had a bad experience in church too. They killed him, but that's okay because well, they tried to stone him one time, took him outside the city, tried to throw him off a cliff, and then finally they, you know, put him up on a cross and killed him. It's okay. It's all right. Jesus is doing something new. You need to tell these people, these friends of yours who are so disillusioned and so broken with people and what they've done. Say, listen, I understand, let God heal that, but you need to be in church because there's a sound. There's a sound. And when that sound begins to come forth, the multitudes will come. You know, the Bible says, Jesus put it a different way. He said, they will know that you are Christians by the love that you have one for another. I'm going to tell you, love is that sound. Love is that sound. The love that we have one for another is like a symphony. It's a musical sound that other people look and they say, oh God, I want that. Did I tell you that story about those kids that we met here last year when we were walking around with a cross? This time last year, we were walking around with a cross in the neighborhood, and those kids that were part of that gang, and how I talked to them about the Lord just right around the corner here. And when we started interviewing them a little bit and looking into their lives and stuff and say, why are you guys part of a gang? They said to me, we love this gang because in this gang we belong. They said, these guys would give their lives for us. And look, guy shows me a scar on his side. He says, I took a knife for that guy. And here I was wanting to say to them, listen, you need to be a part of our church. You need to quit the gang and be a part of the church. But they said to me, would people die for us at your church? Because my friends in the gang, they'd die for me. You know what I realized? I couldn't say yeah. I couldn't say that. I couldn't say that because what we are is we're a bunch of individuals, each on our own little journey. Intersecting with each other a little bit here and there, pollinating, cross-pollinating, that's fine. But essentially, each one of us is on our own journey doing our own thing. But God wants to bring us together in a symphony. And He wants to make music with our lives. And He wants to bring out a beautiful song that'll cause the world to sit up and hear. God's got a harvest. And the harvest requires that you and I are willing to give up a little bit of our individualism. That's what it's going to require. And so I want to kind of wrap up the sermon now because I'm starting to get tired and I feel like eating pizza. So, But here's the amazing thing. God still appreciates our individuality, okay? Because when the Holy Spirit came, He came as little tongues of fire, as it were, that rested on everybody's shoulders, divided tongues of fire. It wasn't just one big flame that just blazed over the whole group. It was individual tongues of fire because God cares about you and your individual life. He really does. God does care about you and your individual life. And He is giving His Spirit so you can breathe life into your individuality. He does have a personal purpose for your life. And there's no one person who's going to have a bigger flame than anybody else. The flame, the collective flame is bigger than any individual flame. But God still cares about the individuality. Nonetheless, my friends, let's be passionate about asking God, how does He want us to breathe in this breath of God and breathe out the praises of the Lord in a symphony of worship that the world will see? Well, I just remember this one little thing, and there's a sound from heaven. There's also a sound from hell, and the sound from heaven is beautiful. The sound from hell is intoxicating. I read in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. You can read it for yourself some other time, but there's a story about this guy called Nebuchadnezzar who was a king in Babylon. And he had decided that he wanted the whole world to worship his way. And he was kind of a personification of the spirit of the age, Nebuchadnezzar was. And he had a desire to build something. He wanted to build an empire. He wanted to build something that would glorify man. He wanted to build towers, and he wanted to build cities, and he wanted to build an empire, and he wanted to build strength, and he wanted to build the kind of things that the world around us is trying to build. And they try to get you sucked into their unity. You come alongside, you get branded by them, and you do the things that they say. You do it without even thinking. You get sucked into their way of life, and you end up working to fulfill their dreams, and you don't even know it. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing. He's like, well, I can get all the world to work for me, and I can be the king of all of this world. And that's what he planned. And so he built this massive idol, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, solid gold, this idol. And he said, when you hear the sound, go have a look at the scripture. It says it right there. When you hear the sound of the harp and essentially the guitars and the music, and when you hear the sound, everybody from every language must bow down and worship. It's funny that on the day of Pentecost, people heard a sound, and people from every tribe and every tongue and every language heard the word of God. It's like the opposite of Nebuchadnezzar's story. When you hear the sound, Nebuchadnezzar said, fall down. And there were those three Hebrew boys who said, sorry, but we're not going to fall down and worship your false god. And Nebuchadnezzar got really mad, and he said, if you don't fall down and worship, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. I'm going to throw you into the very fires of hell. When you hear the sound, worship. Nebuchadnezzar didn't realize it, but prophetically he was giving a picture of what it is to worship God. It was just his prophetic picture was aimed at the devil. The devil was the recipient of the worship. The devil always tries to counterfeit what God is doing. When the Holy Spirit came, there was fire, there was a sound, and there were worshipers. And this time there were people who said, we will bow down and worship. We will bow down and worship the one true God. And on account of that, the Spirit of God was with them, and the Son of God walked with them in the midst of the flame, just like he did in the days of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's just God's version of the story. And in the end, in Nebuchadnezzar's story, those boys refused to bow down and worship the spirit of the age. They would not bow down when they heard the sound of the unity of the world. And I want to ask you, how quickly do you bow your knee to the sound of the unity of the world? You say, well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Whether it's the entertainment or the fashion or the way we design our lives and the way we spend our money, the way we raise our kids, the way we don't raise our kids, the way we take second and third jobs and we work on Sundays and we don't care anything about the Lord's commandment that we should rest in order to replenish. How about that sound then? How about that sound that the world is emanating? How about the spirit of the age competing? You know, the divine sound, the sound of the Holy Spirit, was the sound of a rushing, violent wind. I looked at the word rushing, and it's translated rushing in this context, but actually what it means is a carrying wind. It's the sound of a wind that's able to carry you from one place to another. I want you to know something. That the Spirit of the Lord is able to carry you and the resources that are needed in this desert of a world. The Spirit of the Lord is able to carry them. If you and I try to do it in our own strength, we'll be carrying little buckets of water and we won't get the job done. But He can carry immense volume in His atmosphere of holiness. And with His rushing, mighty, carrying wind. It's just that you and I are bowing our knee to the wrong sound. I think it's time for a little introspection. It's time for us to say, okay, how can I glorify God? And will I allow Him to fill every room in my house? The Spirit of the Lord filled the whole house where they were living. Does the Spirit of the Lord have access to the whole house where you are living? You don't live in church. The Spirit of the Lord has access here. We allow Him. The leadership of this church allow the Spirit of the Lord, and He has access here. But does the Lord have access to the house where you're living? Every room of the house that you're living? Take the challenge.